The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Ronan O'Gara, former rugby international, of course now part of TV3's Six Nations coverage for the game tomorrow against Italy, is with us here on The Last Word. Ronan, thanks very much for taking the time to join us. You're heading back to New Zealand when?
I'm heading back tomorrow, straight after the Wales-England game. Quick visit. I got in the first two games, but my bread and butter is coaching, and it's something I love, and I can't wait to... I'll get there Monday at 2 o'clock.
And the family are there already waiting
for
you?
Yeah, they are indeed. We've been there since the 3rd of January, so this week back home didn't go down too well. Me dragging them the other side of the world.
And then leaving them there to come back here.
Exactly. So, you know, it's been a good week, a good working week. But I committed to TV3 to do the Six Nations before the opportunity with the Crusaders came up. So I'm trying to obviously look after both parties best I can.
How many years were you in Paris?
4.5.
Why leave it? I thought it suited you brilliantly.
Yeah, but I think you're going to the best country in the world for rugby. A new challenge. A fascinating, I suppose, challenge from a rugby point of view. From my point of view, never beat them as a player. So I need to see for myself, what is it about these guys? Or did I overestimate them? Probably did, but... I think you need to live there, and you think you need to taste it yourself to make that judgment to hopefully help my coaching career.
Yeah, to what end? What are your ambitions in coaching?
I hopefully the same as a player, to be competitive, to be get the best out of yourself. Sounds like a bit of a bland statement, but I think that is
There's a level at which you want to do it. Now, you've done it in the top 14. You've worked in the top 14 in France. You're now going to work down in New Zealand. But if you're taking it as a stepping stone...
No, not at all. No, I look upon it as coaching in one of the best club sides in the world. For me, that's merely the end of the road. There's international rugby, obviously, after that. But getting involved with the Crusaders doesn't get any bigger. So there's a massive challenge in front of me there. It's the now. It's not about the future. It's about... hitting the ground running there. They've come off winning the championship in Super Rugby, which anyone who knows about sports, subconsciously you change after you win. So there will be a challenge in that. And we experienced that in Paris, and it didn't go well the following season. So hopefully I can bring learnings in that regard. But I think this is a great opportunity and a fantastic club. I think always people are looking at what's his next move. I don't really think like that.
But it's interesting, how often do the New Zealanders actually bring in people from other countries to actually work with their teams, given that they seem to always know better than everybody else?
They don't, Matt, and this is the first time, but I think they were fascinated by the Lions tour. I think for anyone who looked at that tour in depth, I think there's a few ways of playing the game. And I think over this side of the world, we're brilliant at cup rugby, pressure rugby, while over there it's all out attack, and the attack from everywhere and their skill levels are brilliant. But hopefully if you can marry the two of them, you have a great product. And I'm obviously learning every day as well. So,
but what are you bringing to them? What in particular are they asking you to bring to them?
I'm essentially backs coach. So, you know what I mean, you're in charge of all the backs. And that might sound like not much, but essentially...
it sounds to me like there's an awful lot to it, in the sense that, I mean, you need to have a certain degree of confidence to go in with the high level of skills that those players have and start instructing them as to what to do.
Yeah, I was lucky. I sent in Munster for a long number of years. We had really good foreign players that came in that shared a wealth of experience with us, a lot of particularly New Zealanders. And then you go on Lions tours and you see an awful lot of how the other nations operate. And I think then also the fact that I think the New Zealanders coming in, I went to Paris then.
Yeah.
You have every possible nationality in the world, and people learn differently, and different nationalities and cultures learn differently, and different personalities take things on differently. And then I was lucky to work with, four, I suppose, household names in racing, with Dan, Anthony Tutavaki, Casey Lualua, and Joe Rakakoko, who would be all ex-All Blacks.
Yeah.
And I think after a while you form relationships with these people, and it gives you confidence to know that what you're saying stimulates them and makes you feel that you can hit the ground running in the Crusaders.
But what was it like for you moving from Cork to Paris, 4.5 years, bringing the family, Jessica, 5 children, to Paris? How big a jump was that for you? And how important, actually, do you think was it for you almost as a maturing process growing up as a person?
Yeah, looking back, it was brutal, I think, but that is the transition. You know, where do you, how do you replace, you know, I'm playing in Thomond Park in front of those supporters. How do you replicate Croke Park 2007, Ireland, England? You can't, but you have to accept that that was a great period of my life, and you got to be grateful for it as a player and use that energy into getting fulfillment out of the next stage of your career. So your head is in a spin, I think, when you retire from playing. But then you kind of, I think I got good advice, you don't ever say you retire, I'm moving on to this. So I moved on to this challenge.
So was it important
racing.
Almost to move from Cork?
I thought it was very important. I thought it made it very brutal, but very easy to accept that it's someone else's time. You know what I mean? Stop living
rather
in the
than
past.
Going to all the matches and
Thomond
Park.
Yeah, just even walking out, buying the tea bags or whatever. How will Munster go at the weekend? I think you don't need to hear that for a while because it's a great team. But you need to get on with your life, and you know what I mean? The supporters mean good, but at the same time, then you're living in the past.
But then, having brought the family to Paris and getting them used to it, you decide to shift them down to the other side of the world.
I did, but I never thought this opportunity would come up. I was very happy in Racing. It's a competitive club. It's a good club. I think the French League, it's a hard time. People ask me about it, but you have to be there to kind of appreciate it. It's a championship for 10 months, so you can't have intensity for 10 months in anything, Matt. I think you have to peak at certain stages, and I think there's a skill in that. We're used to the Champions Cup here, where if you're to win that, you win 9 games. So, like, it's already 66% longer, the duration of the French Championship. So there's a skill in winning the Bouclier, but also it's a different intensity. And it is a marathon and a slog for a long time. It's not easy on the eye, but then come playoff time, it really comes alive. And they have French teams with a good record in Champions Cup too. So the reality is, we were a drop goal away from losing to them at national level last weekend. So there isn't that much of a gulf in class.
I'm interested though that you say that about, you know, you had to make a transition after you finished playing into coaching. But the thing with coaches is their careers end as well, and you can find that you don't get a job. Can you ever imagine yourself in life beyond rugby, without rugby?
Yeah, I would have thought about that hard, and I think you know, two of the, I suppose the, my good friends now would be Paul O'Connell and Brian O'Driscoll, who have a big profile outside of the game. But I have thought about it a lot, yeah. But I think there's so much to the coaching that fascinates me in terms of the tactical side, the technical side, but also there's the human side. So with that, getting the best out of people is something that hugely interests me. And it mightn't have an awful lot to do with coaching, but it's an awful lot to do with, I suppose, getting the best out of people's personalities and shaping them as people before players.
But the reason I ask that is it struck me that two of the most successful Irish coaches of recent times, Eddie O'Sullivan and Declan Kidney. Eddie is now doing a certain amount of media work, does a very good column for the Times Ireland edition, a bit of radio and television, coaches at All Belvedere. Declan Kidney is back in UCC as director of sport there. But despite the successes that they actually had, once your time is up, there also seems to be very little for people to go to. I mean, is that something that you would perhaps fear that might happen to you in the future?
Yeah, I haven't thought about it like that. As I said, I'm a very young coach. So I think it's very important, the decisions you make. You have to really think about what you're getting yourself in for. And, you know, I mean, obviously there's the family aspect, and nothing is bigger and more important than that. I'm aware of that. I'm obviously being extremely selfish as a player and probably as a coach already, but there's come a time where your kids, when they hit secondary school, you'd like to have a base for them. But there is a little bit of wriggle room with that for the next number of years.
They're all very young still, aren't they?
Well, yeah, they're, well, yeah, 9 are the eldest.
5 kids, 9 down to what?
9 down to 3.
That's busy.
Yeah, it is very, very busy, but it's full of joy too. Well, full of every emotion possible, because there's 4 boys that knock lumps out of each other, and my poor daughter who watches and wants to be a rugby player, and I'm
Would you not let her? Sure, there's plenty of women rugby
Absolutely.
Players as well.
I will, of course, but she doesn't need to be getting into the contact on the patio yet.
Do you fear rugby the way that it's developed, that it's become so physical that, I mean, okay, you are rather smaller and slighter perhaps than many other players, that it's becoming a game where the minimum requirement is almost to be 6'2" and 15 stone, almost irrespective of what position you're in?
I probably would have believed that, Matt, till 4 weeks ago, till I went to the Crusaders, and just the emphasis isn't on size or power. It's kind of on space, creativity, running lines, skill level. It's been an interesting 4 weeks in that regard. Just in fitness games, you know, you don't really, because there isn't a big emphasis on dress code. They're not sticky on stuff like that. The boys just train. And so when you're watching drills from afar, you wouldn't know who a back or a forward is. So that's, I suppose, the biggest compliment you could give them, the ease at which they handle the ball from a young age. But you have a guy, for example, like Mitch Hunt, who won a Super Rugby Championship, number 10, 80 kgs.
It was noticeable when the All Blacks team that won the last World Cup that they didn't seem as bulked up and built up as some of the player teams from other countries. And is that a concern? Do you ever worry about, and we've discussed this with Paul Kimmich in particular a lot on this programme, that there is a temptation for some players perhaps in bulking up to go for the performance-enhancing drugs. Have you ever seen anything of that in the sport that has worried you?
No, never. Honestly, I was, I think my generation in Munster was honest and as hardworking as I ever come across, and I will take that statement to the grave with me. I think we would have been of an environment where if there was a cheat among us, he would have been found out, you know what I mean? It's hard enough at that level trying to succeed without a fella that's cheating, and I think our culture would not have accepted. I can understand the counter arguments to it. There's worrying trends coming from South Africa in terms of schoolboys being caught for performance-enhancing drugs. But to comment accurately on something, I can only give you my version of events.
Well, I suppose that's why people worried about Gerbrand Grobler, who's in the Munster squad tomorrow night to play. He served a 2-year suspension. He'd been at Racing as well.
Yeah.
That, you know, okay, there's the school of thought, look, he's done his time, he's served a suspension, give him another chance. But then there's also been the argument that because Munster has had a culture of not tolerating that, why did they sign a player who had that background? What did you make of that whole argument?
Yeah, he was in Racing, and he played well, I think. The rules are there to say that it's a 2-year ban, but a 2-year ban isn't any way sufficient deterrent nowadays.
Should be longer, you think?
Completely. I think what would rule it out completely if it was a 10-year ban?
But players would know if they got caught, that's it, it's their career over.
It's their more than their career, it's the shame and it's their life over. I just think a 2-year, you know what I mean, the benefits of that staying in your system. So if you do art to juice or whatever the word is and get the benefits of it, it's meant to stay with you for a long time. So 2 years is absolutely nowhere near adequate.
Okay, so what do you make of Munster having signed him so in those circumstances?
I think I think he was signed by Razzy Erasmus, who knew him well, and I think Munster didn't had a complete crisis in the second row. He was the only player, I think, potentially available on the market. He was signed in May, yet there was a hullabaloo 8 months later. Why wasn't there a hullabaloo at the start?
I think everyone missed it because the Lions tour was on.
I don't think that's a good enough reason. And I think also there's the humane side to it too. This is a guy that has moved over from South Africa on his own, living in an apartment in Limerick, trying to resurrect his career, his love for rugby, and he's got absolutely humiliated. You know what I mean? It should be a consistent criticism across the board.
Well, he gets his chance tomorrow night. What about Simon Zeebo? Actually, think about it. You've probably done a lot of damage to Munster rugby by being at Racing when they took Donegal Ryan and then signing Simon Zeebo as well. Is it fair, do you think, on Simon Zeebo when he's still available playing with Munster that he's not involved in the Irish squad at present? Or do you understand why Joe Smith hasn't picked him?
Yeah, well, you've asked a lot there. I think, Matt, I think the most important thing is that I don't sign the players for Racing. I am an employee of Racing. I was doing my best with Racing. If the guys from here express an interest, I would do my best to get them a good deal because I do care about them. I played with them. But I don't sign their contracts. They're big boys. They know exactly what they're doing. Do I like Simon Zeebo and Donica Ryan? Yes, I do. I have an awful lot of time for them as both men and as rugby players. But Donica, I think, wanted a new challenge. For any people that know him, he's a very interesting character, a very deep person that wanted to experience something different. Simon has expressed his desire to play outside of Ireland. His dad is from Martinique, part of a lovely family, and it's a great opportunity for him to do something different. So it was exactly on his terms. And
but should he still be in the Irish squad?
Well, I think he could easily be in the Irish squad, but I think once he signed, the decision was easy for Joe. I'd say what'll happen going forward will be if people do sign, they won't say anything till as late as possible.
Yeah, are we going to win the Six Nations? Because that drop goal last week, it would have been a disaster almost for the season if we'd lost. Now we've had 3 home games in a row to win, potential to win by going to Twickenham, even a Grand Slam. Is it a real possibility?
I think it's a possibility. A real possibility is it a real possibility? It's a 50-50 game at best in Twickenham, even at this stage. Their home record is very impressive, but I think mentally we have an edge over them. But what worries me more, maybe Wales at home, it's more or less just the Aviva and did a number
on Munster.
Well, and
Leinster previously in the semi-final in the RDS. Warned,
so they've been kind of lit up by coming to the Aviva, and obviously, there, you know what I mean, that kind of draws the ideal result this weekend in terms of Wales-England. But, you know what I mean, imagine if Wales, because they won't fear going to Twickenham. So it's Ireland up next after that. So it's
anyway, we'll watch you on the telly tomorrow. You're on TV3 tomorrow from 1 o'clock. The game, I think, is a 2:15 kickoff at the Aviva. Ronan O'Gara, Gracie, listen, best luck down in New Zealand. Hope you have a great year down there.
I appreciate it.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.